Welcome to all of you. I have had an extraordinary time between this broadcast and the previous one. Practically on a whim, I zoomed down to Argentina, which is a 23-hour journey. So that's pretty insane. So I am now certified insane, and you should not listen to crazy people. One interesting point is that it has been proven scientifically that the absolute best brain exercise, the absolute best way to exercise your brain and create all kinds of opening of pathways and everything, is to play ping pong. Ping pong is a super game. It causes you to continually balance the right and left side in completely unique ways. As the ball goes from one side to the other, and as you're trying to hit it back and forth, your nervous system, especially in the brain, the neurological pathways are enlivened and are caused to constantly shift in the way you perceive. And this is a really wonderful opportunity to expand your brain patterns. They actually prove this by having Chinese ping pongers wired up. So in Argentina, there was a lot of brain exercise going on. So I was constantly telling everybody that this is a very important activity for the development of your brain. And so we were very seriously exercising our brains. And it's actually true. I'm not joking. It's really so. But the reason I just said that was because it's very good to do unexpected things. It's very good to do different things in different environments. In this case, with different language. All of a sudden, I was thrust into the Latino culture, mentality, the heat, the enormous heat, without air conditioning. All of it just raw heat all the time. Into a city. You know, I live in this place which is so quiet. It's like you're in a tomb. It's so quiet here. When I returned home, the first thing I noticed was there's no sound at all. Nothing. Because at night, the birds are quiet. Everything's quiet. It's completely silent. And you just hear the silence. It's just so nice. And in a city, it's like nonstop cars and trucks and dogs and sirens and trains and rumbling and this and that. So you can imagine, here I am. It's winter here now. Actually, the worst winter anyone's ever seen. A huge disaster for the food supply. I came back and all my nice plants are just finished. And so I'm going from this cold, unusually cold, into that enormous heat. Going from this bland English language environment into this incredibly colorful Spanish environment, going from this expected environment into this totally different environment. It forces the whole mind, forces every part of you to just simply expand, simply just see things in a different way, see life in a different way, see yourself in a different way. It's really a great experience to just do something completely unexpected, completely different. It's really, really a valuable experience. And I don't necessarily recommend that you jump on a plane and go to Buenos Aires, but just do something unexpected now and then. Just try to break the pattern of life. And that's actually a very good theme, to break the pattern. Because as soon as things fit within a pattern, we are, instead of living, developing beings, we become formulas. That it must be like this because it was always like this, and this is the way it's done. This is the way I do things. This is what I expect. And therefore, this is how it should be. But actually, there's no should in life. It must not be in any particular way. It, meaning life or action or events, simply are. They are what they are. We have a choice of either accepting them for what they are or rejecting them. We either can accept them for what they are, or we can say, no, I don't like that. I don't want that. And we can work to change it. We can try to force it to change. Well, life doesn't always work like that. Life doesn't allow us at all times to make things the way we want it to be. There are times when things are not the way we want them to be. Does everybody see me okay? If you don't see me okay, just restart the Winamp. It might work better. So, life is a very interesting experience in that it is not something that always works as it is expected. It is something that we have to adapt to. I think I talked a few weeks ago about the fact that we can always deal with it. Whatever happens, we can deal with it. And that's actually good because it gives us a confidence. But there's another element to that, which it's important for us to know. It's important for us to think about it. The element of not only can we deal with it, but it's all right. It's all right that it is the way it is. It's acceptable. It's something that fits within the scheme of things. It's something that fits within the scheme of existence. Sometimes people die. While I was on the airplane coming here I guess it was Thursday, my aunt died. She was very old. She had Alzheimer's. And she was very confused. As far as I remember her in life, she was always very clear what she wanted. She knew what she wanted. She knew how to express what she wanted. She was very confident in her knowledge, confident in her capacities. Yet here she was challenged by a disease which made her confused, where she wasn't even sure where she was or what she was doing. She wasn't sure who she was sometimes, or even if what she was hearing was the reality of her situation, or so many different ideas. She had no idea whatsoever anymore. She lost herself. She lost her capacity to think. She lost her capacity to remember. So here's a person who was accustomed to being very clear about everything, who was now unsure about everything. So her departure, from her point of view, was probably a very good thing. Although she will be missed by my uncle, she'll be missed by us. The idea here that sometimes even people die young. Now, for those of us, for example, parents or friends, we see that and we go, how horrible, how terrible. Their life has been cut short. Their whole growth and development finished. And we lament, and we consider this to be a very great problem. And perhaps it is, in a way. Yet, in another way, it is quite possible that this was a planned event, that this was something which fit within the scheme of their life, something which made perfect sense to them. Perhaps they finished all the things they planned on doing in this life. We come into this life with an idea. We come into this life with something we wish to accomplish. We come into this life with a set of goals, evolutionary goals. And often these goals are finished quicker, or they are finished right on time at an earlier age. And sometimes it's part of our life to end it and to experience that quick ending, because we have other things to do in another situation. Sometimes people come here who are actually meant to assist others, who are actually meant to do something for the sake of others, to be there for the sake of others. And when they finish their time, they move on. I know that there are some that I've even experienced in this life where really I see that these people came here to be really there at a time when it was needed. And then left. I remember a long time ago there was this devotee, Sachisutta, and people always remembered how he was always there for them. He always tried to help them, always was doing things for their sake. He was very selfless in that regard. Very loved universally. Not one person could say a bad thing about him. And yet he died in one of those famous Soviet concentration camps, basically because he was a spiritual person. Now, you could see that as, oh, these horrible Soviets who caused such a horrible thing, and, well, that was also perhaps his service to inspire some of us here who were there in the West to do more to try to resolve this situation. Maybe he, in his love and in his help for others, inspired those who were there with him or those who knew of him. We can't really say what was the point of his life, but I feel very deeply that his life ended just as it should, that he accomplished just what he wished to accomplish. And then he moved on. When I went to Argentina, we were discussing a lot about another great Argentine person. Name was Caivalia. And he was a really wonderful person. Very, very warm, very present, very real. Not an artificial person, a very real person. Who had offered such amazing facilities during the time of great challenges down there where the military government had taken over. A really good guy. And he moved to Spain. And at one time, the Basque separatist movement, the Basques, they're a group in Spain who want to separate from Spain. So they wanted to blow up the house of somebody who was against them. But they had the wrong address. So they blew his house up. And this was such an incredible trauma for him that his house got blown up. And it was the wrong address. It's like the stuff they make movies out of, where the criminals get everything all confused for some stupid reason and then do something completely insane. And then they sit there and say, oh, that was the wrong. It was something like this. But it hit him so deeply that he got such a cancer in his brain. And he withered away. And I remember calling him in the hospital and arranging that some of his friends would go and meet him who were not aware of his situation. And we all together donated to bring him back to Argentina. And we were talking about this, how we had done that and how they took care of him in Argentina and how he died peacefully, probably with a lot of difficulty because that kind of cancer does it to you. And even though, according to the normal way certain sect people look at other former sect people, he was not the perfect example. But I think he was a great example because of his personality, his person, who he was. And what everybody has with them, parts of him, even to this day, and will have for the rest of their lives. How personalities like Martin Luther King here in America, a very deeply famous person, a person whose fame is nothing like the fame of an actor or a rock star or a politician, a person whose fame is born of the incredible depth of that deep spiritual being that worked for the sake of the black community in the United States, practically paving the way for the election of the present president. This idea of the impact people make and the way in which we deal with their short lives or the sudden loss of them, it cannot be understood strictly from the obvious point of view. There are many ways to see things. And when we know this, it's very useful to us. Like, for example, the decision the person made before they took birth in this body, the choices they made to accept challenges, physical challenges, physical disabilities, mental challenges, various challenges which forced people around them to see life differently, which forced the world to adjust, even if in a small way. So many people come here with that kind of a plan and perhaps a shorter lifespan. We all come here with this task list, a list of tasks, what we have to work on for ourselves, how we have to accept ourselves, perhaps, or how we have to learn that we can actually have the capacities, we can actually deal with life, to develop our inner strength. Just like, for example, I zoomed down to Argentina and had to deal with a totally different, from top to bottom, situation. And this caused me to see things in another way, to have my whole intelligence adjusted, my whole existence adjusted. So sometimes we, in between lives, place ourselves in completely different situations with the express intent, with the specific intention to see our situation from a totally different point of view, to experience life in a totally different way. Sometimes we think that those personalities who live in that realm, we call it above, that realm of another dimension, where they help us when we need help, where they give us guidance. We see these personalities as all-knowing. Now, no doubt, they know an awful lot. They know a lot more than we know. They have a really broad perspective of things. But they don't know everything. Specifically, they lack experience, at least some of them, and all of them lack all experience about what it's like to live here on Earth, or whatever planet, but we're on Earth, so we talk about Earth. So they lack that intense knowledge and capacity that we have to deal with our situation right here, right now. That's often very strange. That's often very challenging. Indeed, very unique. So periodically, these people come here. You'll even find these, what we call here now, great beings, enter into this world just to experience and get this knowledge of what it's like to live here, so that when they go back to their role of assisting us, they understand what we're going through better. Now, obviously, nobody can understand everything about what another person is going through, obviously. Our own consciousness is a product of so many different events and so many different circumstances and situations. And it's all filtered through our senses and our body, which is unique. So no other person can have a complete sensitivity to another. But there are some general patterns. There are some categories of situations which repeat themselves. And we can get some empathy for others because we have been through similar kinds of situations. Obviously not exactly the same. And obviously not with all the same problematic situations piled on top of each other. But we have gone through similar situations. Sometimes we feel insecure, so we know basically what it means when another person feels insecure. We know what it's like when we're tired, so we also can understand to a large extent how somebody else feels when they are tired. We know what it's like to be hungry. We know what it's like to be lonely. We know what it's like to feel not accepted. We know what it's like to feel unsupported. We know what it means to feel pain. So we can understand others from that point of view of the similarity of our experiences. For one who's very sensitive, when they come together with somebody who's got that pain or got that loneliness or got whatever that quality is which is challenging them at that moment, we can practically feel that because we know that feeling, we know that vibration, and when we come in contact with them, that reverberates within us and resonates And that stirs up our own memories of being in similar situations. You will find that that reverberation and that resonance is not only limited to this lifetime, but we still have this reverberation echoing from our previous lifetimes. This reverberation of events, this reverberation of situations, this reverberation of challenges which were so traumatic in a previous lifetime. And when we contact a similar reverberation, when we contact a similar kind of vibration, it causes us to remember the echo, to hear the echo, to feel the echo from our previous lifetimes. And even though we may be not expecting it at all, this reverberation can shock us that, what was that? What was that that I just felt? What was that I just saw? What was that I just heard? Where did that come from? And sometimes we say, I have no experience of this, because we are bringing those traumas with us from the previous lifetime that still echo within us, or many lifetimes. And often we experience that echo because it's part of our continuous development, our continuous struggle with evolution. As our spirit, our being, is continuously striving to go forward, to continuously striving towards that best situation we have imagined for ourselves, that greatest self that we could possibly be as we look forward, as we reach out to growth. I find this a really wonderful thing. And that's why this going into a totally new environment, going into a totally new situation, it's really very great, because it just forces understanding, forces it. I had, before I left, taken a lot of things for granted. Okay, sure, you know, I lived in different places in Europe, and sure, I go to Russia regularly, and sure, you know, St. Petersburg and Moscow are not your epitome of the of heaven. Especially when you're sitting 45 minutes to make a left turn. I mean, it's not like, you know, you go to these places for your, you know, just perfect vacation, especially when it's freezing cold. Yeah, but you know, I go there and I stay in my place over there, and I stay in my place over there, and everything's predictable. I know exactly what I'm going to get. I know exactly what I'm going to expect. I know even exactly who I'm going to meet, and exactly where I'm going to meet them, and exactly what I'm going to do. So it's like an extension of home, just a different one, you know, a different kind of home. It's like there's a home here, everything very predictable, and a home over there, and everything very predictable. And the real problem comes when it breaks, when something breaks. That's when you pull your hair out and you freak out, and you want to know why and what's going on, and you work to struggle to fix, to bring everything back to the platform of being predictable. Because somehow we get this idea that when things are predictable, that is good. Yet, going down to Argentina, nothing predictable. Previously, when I went there, everything was predictable. I went to one place. always the same place, and it was a nice room. And once, of course, the water was leaking in when it rained, and the whole room was full of buckets catching water. But besides that, it was predictable. And there was like the same cookers and the same program. And it was kind of nice. And I got to be with these nice people in this kind of nice place. And I never drove anywhere except to go ride the bicycle in a nice park. And this was that life. So kind of somewhere in my head, there was this idea to recapture that shelter. I used to go there from the cold winter of Europe down to the nice spring of summer, the spring summertime, very, you know, pleasant. So boy, was I in for a shock. I arrived at the airport, nobody there. I said, okay, this is a sign. This is a sign. I mean, this is definitely the gods telling me, be prepared. This is not going to be easy. So, all right, I'm standing there, walking here, walking there. Finally, two ladies found me who were not the persons who were supposed to pick me up. So then we get in this car. Oh my God, this car. I haven't seen a car like this. I mean, most of these cars, you would expect them in, I mean, I don't want to insult people's cars. You can just imagine. And we immediately got lost. Took the wrong turn. Everybody screaming. I mean, honking horns. This guy stopped in the middle. This is all going on in an auto route, right? And he's swinging his fist and screaming and cursing. And there's a whole uproar everywhere. And I'm like, whew. Culture shock. Culture shock time. So we're lost and we're going this way and we're going that way. And a 45-minute ride turns into an hour and a half. And, you know, this is after being traveling for about 20 hours. And I'm trying to keep my eyes from falling out of my head and rolling on the windshield. And then I realize this is the theme of this trip. Just accept. Just accept whatever the situation is. And then it went from there. Big time headache. Oh, what a headache. Oh, God, you can't imagine the headache. So the cure is usually coffee. That's my headache cure. Some people live on coffee. For me, it's the only cure for a headache. It's a drug for me. That's my definition of a drug, a cup of coffee. So I decided I'm going to drug myself with some coffee. So we try some instant coffee. Zero. Zero effect. Headache just... Finally, I crawl downstairs and say, please, please, some real coffee. Finally, we find some real coffee. And, okay, boom. There we are, drugged. The pain goes away. One challenge after another. The night before I'm about to leave, I'm brushing my teeth. And all of a sudden, bam! My back says, now we're going to collapse. And the back is going to go, and it's like, and all I can think of, I've got to sit in this airplane with my back finished, screaming in pain. Okay, I won't bore you with the details, but it's like, one thing after another. And then when I went down, I was pretty attached to playing music. That, you know, I felt here'll be another market for me and Shiva to play music and to expand, you know, that that musical creative selves that we are in this new and unique way with the Latin flavor. And nobody likes our music. Oh, God. They go, eh. You know, we should actually have some congos and some Latin shakers and, you know, some girls twirling around in little red skirts and make sure there's a lot of, like, you know, these reggae sounds and blues beats that are all Latin and everything Latin, and then people would like it. Well, that's okay, too. You can, if you want, go to robertcampagnola.com. There are two videos there of a very impromptu jam session with people who never played together before. One reggae tune, one blues tune. It's under the video. You'll see the mood there. It was kind of very interesting. You know, for me, it was like, wow, here's this thing that I thought I was going to do, and it's just completely different. It's all changed. And what will I do about it? And here I am, you know, having to deal with these situations of pain, a lot of pain, and I don't have the facility to deal with it. What am I going to do about it? But I used to have here a glass door that used to close my shelves off here, and I used to paste little stick-it notes on this door. Well, the door broke, and I had to put it somewhere else in. But I have this little stick-it note in my head, little stick-it note up there in my brain. And that stick-it note says on it, I get just what I need when I need it. I get just what I need when I need it. And that was kind of like my theme while I was down there, that, okay, these are all new situations and I'm faced with challenges. So I'm going to keep this in mind. I get just what I need when I need it. And when I thought I wasn't getting what I needed, I just kind of backed off and just accepted it. I just said, okay, it is what it is. I'll accept it. Okay, the coffee was late, but at least I got it. And when I got it, it worked. My headache was gone enough that I could function. And here, just like the example of the bad back, we happened to go somewhere where we were going to try to do a program in a spa at a hotel. And we met this person who was super good at the healing arts and stuff. And my back was actually good enough to fly on that airplane without pain, which was pretty unheard of for me to have such a quick turnaround of this back problem. So here I was, you know, actually it's so. I get just what I need when I need it. And when they explained to me the whole situation of music in Argentina, the whole history of live music, how the government had actually banned live music, because in 2006 there was this huge disaster in a club when they were shooting off some kind of artificial fire and the plastic roof melted and it smashed and killed hundreds of people in this club. And it was the hugest disaster, and people were so traumatized by this, the government banned all live music. I mean, you know, when you hear something like that, you realize, my God, they banned live music because of an accident. I mean, it was a very famous occurrence. Actually, I even remember reading about it in the news, but I had forgotten. And that's why live musicians, they practically have to pay people to come and listen to them. It's just a whole different history, a whole different kind of culture. And people anyway aren't really exposed to all kinds of things. And anyway, they have their internal rhythm going on because they are of that particular culture. And they have that internal rhythm going on, that that communication between the music of the mountains and the natives and the beats of Latin America. This is part of their DNA, part of their cells. And even though I was so, you know, I really was attached to doing things in a certain way, and I was like objecting, but when I came home, I realized, okay, no music. I'll give up this idea that I have to be creative in this way, that I have to express myself in this way. I'll just remove my attachment to it and then just deal with the situation that I've got in front of me. So now I'm trying to find some conga player, and I'm trying to find some people, and I'm trying to get myself into that particular mood and just accept it rather than fight it. These are all important things for me. You know, those of us who like to control things, they want things in a certain way. And when they're not in a certain way, they work to make them in that certain way. People like us, and I admit it, we have to let go, control, let go these expectations, let go these demands, and just accept things as they are. Make adjustments, make compromises. Even if we think the things that we're compromising are very, very important, just accept it. Just let it be. And what happens is it creates a great growth. It forces us to grow. It forces us to deal with these situations which we didn't expect or didn't want, and to adjust and to grow. I'll tell you one thing. Old age is a situation that nobody is ready for. It's something that you really just end up falling into. You end up just having to accept that things don't work anymore the way they used to. That you're kind of delicate. You break easy. You know, young people, it's difficult to break them. That, you know, their whole bodies are much more resilient. They grow together when bones break. They recover quickly. And when you get older, you realize you become more delicate and you break easily. But what you do is you have this kind of, let's say, a patience about it, an acceptance about it, a consideration. And when you see others, you have a consideration about who they are and what they are and how they feel and what they want. And thus you enter into a new stage of life called being the grandparent. And I've got to share with you this. This, I think, is really a wonderful experience I had that was, of all the experiences I had in Argentina, this one is number one. This was the most eye-opening experience I had there, and really, practically, I've had in the last year at least. We went to Daksha Kanya's house, and her and Mukhtinath, they have these beautiful children, and there were all these children there. There were all kinds of people came over. All kinds of people we knew each other. And I mean, it was really packed. And we're all sitting around the ping pong table, of course, which was now the dinner table. And I'm kind of sitting in a corner. And, you know, people are around and we're talking and laughing, and others who can't fit exactly there are sitting around and talking and laughing. And a lot of kids are jumping in this little swimming pool and making a huge noise, and others are running around. And sometimes these two dogs wander by and then, you know, demand that you pet them. And it was all in the summer, and it was all hot, and it was all in the neighborhood where other people were doing the same things. And I just looked at it. And it hit me like a sledgehammer. I have become my grandfather. And I was like so stunned. I just sat there for about 5 minutes and I couldn't think and I didn't say a word. And I was just looking at this. And I was seeing back in the Bronx, and Bronx is a part of New York, my grandfather sitting in the corner on a hot day with the table in front with the food and all his children around and all their children around. And even in this case, we are having children's children. I mean, we're really getting on there. And all of a sudden, I realized my grandfather sitting in the corner, smiling, just absorbing the situation, just feeling happy that his children were happy, that they had jobs, that they were working, they had their houses, they had their lives, they had their children, and their children were playing and happy and going to school. And here it was a good day, and life is good. And all of a sudden, I understood my grandfather. It was such a shock. Now, you don't probably appreciate that because, you know, you haven't experienced that yet. But I tell you, for me, it was the greatest eye-opening experience I have had in such a long time that I have become my grandfather. And then I just got into it. I just got into it. And okay, let's do this. And actually, that worked out pretty good. So unexpected, I tell you, unexpected, so many unexpected things. You know, I started thinking and I read this morning, I read this book that we're going to publish in Russian. I forgot the title exactly. Maybe it's Living in the Light. Anyway, I read it at breakfast. And you know, I read it every day at breakfast because it gives me like this really insights into things. So this lady, she's talking about soul development as being in layers. And I remember another form of therapy talks about the cycle of development, the cycle of evolution, that it's like a circle that you meet basically, you know, there's quite a variety of experiences on this circle. But after a while, you return all the way to the beginning of the circle and undergo these experiences again. You undergo these experiences again and you revisit these experiences, but this time from a new level of understanding and perception. Then you go through a cycle and then start another cycle, but it's now at a different time. And this lady, she was talking about layers of development. You know, where layers of development take place, where even though they may seemingly be the same events or you're repeating things, but it's at another time, it's at another development where you are so much more advanced and you are so much more developed as a person. Kind of like when you get a diamond out of the earth, it just looks like a dirty rock and you have to clean it and then you have to start cutting it so that it starts to manifest its shape and then you polish it and then you bring it to its greatest shine as a diamond. So I was thinking of this cycle of evolution as being like a wheel. And this wheel is not just turning around in the same place, but is actually rolling on the road of life. It's actually rolling. So you are meeting these different events which are similar, but you're meeting them in different situations and you're meeting them at different times and you're meeting them with yourself having quite different understanding, quite different realizations, quite different. You know, when you live, let's say, as a renounced personality, and you have no connection to family life, and even you're thinking of that as a problem, and you don't want to come in contact with it lest you become influenced by it, you push away that experience. And now to see it from another point of view, and to see actually how important it is, not only to these people, but to their children. And you know, we were all children. Even the greatest renounced personality was a child. Can you imagine if you as a renounced personality now, if you, as a child, your parents were also renounced personalities and thought of you as being an obstacle in their life, who distanced themselves from you, didn't show emotion to you, didn't love you, didn't hug you, didn't care about you, didn't want the very best for you, didn't sacrifice themselves for you. Then you would be, if you didn't have those kind of parents and you grew up as a great renounced personality, you would be a very screwed up great personality. And that's no fun. Not for you, not for anyone else. And here, as I'm rolling on my wheel, which repeats and sees different situations at different points in time, and to sit there as my grandfather would, to practically be my grandfather for a moment, and to actually feel good about the fact that, hey, these people are doing okay. These people are happy. These kids are happy and they feel loved and protected. And then I thought about it and I said, everything is just fine. Everything is just the way it's supposed to be. And then you see when, you know, kids are upset and they're crying and they don't get what they want because they got a lot of things they want. But then it makes sense. Yeah. Yep, she's frustrated. She's finding out she's not the Lord of existence. Yep, that's just perfect. So I think this, all these different forms of experience, they all are good. They all make sense in their own particular way. All experiences, wherever they may be. I remember looking back on my life at all kinds of things. Some, even really, what I thought at the time were terrible things. Things which in a million years I wouldn't even want to repeat. But I understand that there is a purpose to everything. There is a reason to everything. There is a point to everything. Everything comes when it's supposed to. Everything that challenges us makes perfect sense. It's just a question of time when we will see that, when we will click and understand what's really the point here, what's really the purpose of our lives. Now, in this discussion, I never really spoke about what the point of life is. I never spoke about the purpose of life. I never spoke about the spirit. I never talked about God. In fact, you could have seen this discussion as simply a travel log. What Hari did for the last 10 days. But actually, it's a piece of the puzzle. How life works as a puzzle. And how these different experiences that we place ourselves in, either voluntarily or involuntarily, are integrated within our overall evolution, our overall development. And it all is right. In its own way, it's right. And I have confidence that sooner or later, I will understand why. And that it's not even important to understand why now, because when the moment is right, I will understand. Just like when I was sitting there on that Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden I understood my grandfather. I never did that before. And I never thought I ever would. And all of a sudden I did. And if that could happen, anything can happen. And I am quite convinced that if I just wait and I just keep things moving, sooner or later, everything's going to make its perfect sense exactly at the right time. So I'm going to keep on trying to embrace different situations and unique situations and somehow or another, you know, get it out of my head that everything has to be a certain way. That I actually have to control things to make sure, to guarantee predictability. Because what I see around the world around me is that it's unpredictable. I look out my window and see all these dead plants that I spent so much time taking care of. And I have to accept unpredictability and just see it as part of the wonderful plan of my life. And to be confident that I get just what I need when I need it. So I hope you have appreciated this, shall we say, travel log. This kind of expanded travel documentary history. Actually, the traveling was throughout all kinds of parts of life and previous lives. And anyway, I think it's kind of cool. So if you thought so also, then we have had a successful broadcast.